And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The International Lutheran Council, the ILC, is preparing for its forthcoming 27th World Conference, which will take place in Kisumu, Kenya, from September the 13th to the 16th. During that time, leaders of confessional Lutheran church bodies across the globe will gather to worship together, to study scripture, and to consider their mutual proclamation to the world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The theme of this year's conference is Liturgy and Culture: How Worship Shapes Our Life Together and Why We Do What We Do. The liturgy serves and shapes the missionary task of the church, conference material explains. It is in its very nature mission work in which people are brought out of one culture and integrated into another. The liturgy teaches within the context of prayer. It shapes faith and life. It serves a common confession and fosters unity. The worship wars of recent generations continue, the workbook explains, while the church is also experiencing an escalation in the more lethal cultural wars. Churches are denied freedom of speech and access to the public square. Conference speakers will address a variety of topics in which liturgical theology and practice and church life are being challenged by external influences. Serving as keynote speaker of the 2022 World Conference is Bishop Johanna Piola of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland, the ELMDF. Bishop Piola's address is entitled Church and Culture: The Devastating Effects of the Progressive Socio-Political Ideology and Cultural Trends on the Church, with special attention to recent events in Finland. The conference will feature three other presentations on the subject of liturgy and culture given by the Reverend Dr. Alexei Streltsov, Rector of Lutheran Theological Seminary in Novosibirsk, Russia, the Reverend Dr. Joseph Tom Amolo, Principal of NEMA Lutheran College in Mtongo, Kenya, and the Reverend Dr. Naomichi Masaki, Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. During the conference, the ILC will hold elections, hear reports, and conduct other business. Participants will also visit sites affiliated with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya, the ELCK, the host church for this year's conference, where they will learn about the ELCK's works of mercy and human care, as well as theological education, among other activities. It is certainly not the first time they've been the headline star, but now, following the success of many Broadway shows, Hollywood films, and of course his debut in the Bible, Jesus Christ, Son of God and Man, endowed with the ability to walk on water, will feature in his own video game. The world's first Jesus Christ simulator will enable players to recap the major events in his life and spans the period just before his baptism until his crucifixion and resurrection. However, in what marks a rather unexpected intervention, the game is being backed by church leaders and religious authorities who say that anything that helps spread the word of the gospel can only be a positive thing, even if Jesus is depicted as an action man or superhero. Their comments come after The Telegraph reported findings from a survey which found that younger people are much more likely to pray than older generations because the rising popularity of mindfulness, meditation, and spirituality has encouraged them to connect with faith. The game, I Am Jesus Christ, which is being released by developers Simula M and Playway in time for Christmas, features references to corresponding verses in the New Testament to major incidents in his life, and is being pitched as allowing players to experience some of Jesus' most famous miracles firsthand. The game features references to major incidents in the life of Jesus, including the miracle of the fishes and walking on water. Players who play Jesus himself will also have the opportunity to unlock miracles, turn water into wine, destroy viruses and plagues, cure the sick, and even defeat Satan. The best thing, according to comments posted the official trailer on the YouTube from those hoping to play the game, is that even if you die in the game, it is still canon to the story. Straight genius. Dr. Gavin Ashenden, a former chaplain to the Queen from 2008 to 17, agrees. He told The Telegraph that the most appealing aspect of the game was that it provides an opportunity in the gaming world to engage with a representation of Jesus that is faithful to the Gospels. Dr. Ashenden, a former priest and missionary bishop within the Church of England, who switched to the Catholic Church in 2019, added, "We have no evidence that high culture produces an encounter with the living God, and that being so, it's most unlikely that low culture will. The attraction of the gaming videos is that they involve a direct engagement with Jesus. It may be Jesus as an action man or near superhero, but nonetheless the context appears to be faithful to the drama of the Gospels, and so provides a real possibility of a subsequent and developed encounter with the historical Jesus. It is a provocation of a curious encounter," he said, "with the historical Jesus that is exactly the kind of initiative the Church should be engaged in or supporting." A spokesman for the Church of Scotland added, "For centuries, the story of Jesus Christ has been retold in different ways, from medieval mystery plays to Hollywood blockbusters. Anything which helps people to think about him and discuss his life, mission, ministry, death and resurrection in new ways can only be a positive thing. However, people don't need to buy video games to learn about Jesus. They can come to church and meet him in bread and wine, love and service and learning and caring." Maxim Yovskins, chief executive of SimVeren, said that the game had already been tested by about 10,000 players and had received much positive feedback. "We also believe that this game can help spread more about the word of Jesus Christ, especially to new generations," he added. "And we treat this game as a new type of art. As you know, movies became very popular about Jesus Christ during the last 50 to 60 years. Now we want to make something similar, but with a computer game. And what is unique here is that players can see all this story from a first-person view, in the style of life 2,000 years ago, famous places like Jerusalem and the Sea of Galilee." The Church of England declined to comment on the video game. However, last week it commissioned a survey which found that one-third of 18 to 34-year-olds have prayed in the last month, compared to 25% of people aged 55 and over. The younger generation was also more likely to have said a prayer at any time, with 56% saying they had ever prayed, compared to 41% of the over 55s, according to the poll carried out by Savanta Comres. The Most Reverend Stephen Cottrell, the Archbishop of York, said the figures showed that people are longing for connection during a time of uncertainty. A chaplain was deemed a risk to children by his Church of England diocese for defending the right to question school LGBT policies, it has emerged. The Reverend Dr. Bernard Randall, 49, is suing the Bishop of Derby and Trent College over alleged religious discrimination after he was sacked by the fee-paying school and reported to terrorism watchdogs. He's claiming £120,000 in damages at an employment tribunal which begins on Monday. The University of Oxford graduate and former chaplain of Christ College in Cambridge was dismayed when his diocese launched its own investigation and conducted a risk assessment which concluded that he posed a moderate risk and might cause children anxiety if they came to him with a sexuality or relationship issue. The Reverend Dr. Randall told The Telegraph he was seeking damages, including for hurt feelings and lost earnings from the school and the Bishop of Derby, the Right Reverend Libby Lane. He will ask for reinstatement to his post at the school. "If it wasn't so serious, it would be funny that the church is being alleged to have discriminated against one of its officers on the basis that the officer holds its teachings," said Dr. Randall. "It shouldn't be possible, but here it is, and that's why it's for the long-term good of the church to deal with these things." The Reverend Dr. Randall was appointed in 2015 to provide pastoral care, share the Christian faith, and lead services in Trent School's chapel. In a sermon delivered in June 2019, after students at the school in Derbyshire questioned the school's new policy on sexual orientation diversity, the Reverend Dr. Randall outlined the church's view of marriage as being between a man and a woman. He was subsequently sacked in August 2019. the Diocese of Derby said in a statement, Mr. Randall has never been an employee of the diocese, and the license he held was as a result of his employment by Trent College. The Bishop of Derby is saddened that Mr. Randall is bringing these grievances and has tried to ensure pastoral care for him. Given that he has started legal processes against the diocese and the Bishop of Derby, it would be inappropriate to comment further. Andrea Williams, co-founder of Christian Concern and chief executive of the Christian Legal Centre, said, "The Church of England's wholesale misuse of safeguarding to suggest that Bernard is a risk to children is one of the most distasteful and objectionable elements in this extraordinary case." A measles outbreak in Zimbabwe has now killed nearly 700 children in a rapidly accelerating and deeply concerning flare-up of the highly contagious disease. Health officials told The Telegraph they were alarmed by both the speed of the spread and the high fatality rate of the outbreak, which has seen the recent death toll jump by dozens each day. The flare-up of one of the world's most infectious diseases has taken hold among church congregations that have rejected vaccinations for religious reasons. Deaths had reached 698 by September the 4th, according to the nation's health ministry, up from less than a quarter of that a fortnight earlier. Officials reported that 37 children died on September the 1st alone. The outbreak is thought to be the worst for some time in the southern African nation of 50 million. The last outbreak 11 years ago was far less severe, health sources told The Telegraph. UNICEF said that in the worst affected eastern province of Manicaland, nearly 1 in 10 of those getting the disease were dying. That rate is higher than in other recent African outbreaks. The UN body said it was deeply concerned with the numbers of cases and deaths among children due to a measles outbreak in Zimbabwe. Cases first emerged in April, and the virus has since spread quickly among congregations of Zimbabwe's apostolic churches, who have long rejected vaccinations and modern medicine. Dr. Johannes Marissa, the president of the Medical and Dental Private Practitioners of Zimbabwe Association, told the Associated Press that the government may need to force children to be vaccinated. He said, "Because of the resistance, education may not be enough, so the government should also consider using coercive measures to ensure that no one is allowed to refuse vaccination for their children." He urged the government to consider enacting legislation that makes vaccination against killer diseases such as measles mandatory. Zimbabwe's cabinet had already invoked a law used to respond to disasters to deal with the outbreak and has launched a mass vaccination campaign which will target 2 million children under 5 years. Nationwide, the vaccination rate was around 85% in 2020, having fallen back on previous years when it at times touched 95%. The country's apostolic churches, or sects, are thought to be followed by around 1 in 5 of the population. Their teachings regularly include a potent mix of opposition towards Western medicine and belief in faith healing and prayer, meaning the congregations have become a stronghold of anti-vaccination sentiment. As the outbreak has worsened and pressure has mounted, some church leaders have in recent weeks appeared to change their stance and called on followers to get their children vaccinated. The virus causes fever, coughing, and a telltale rash, but in some cases it causes complications that can be fatal. Complications include blindness, brain swelling, severe diarrhea and dehydration, ear infections, or severe respiratory infections such as pneumonia. It is one of the world's most contagious diseases, with a reproduction rate as high as 18, compared to an R rate of between 2 and 3 for the original strain of COVID. Before mass vaccinations began in the 1960s, the disease flared up in occasional epidemics, killing an estimated 2.6 million children each year. More than 140,000 people died from measles in 2018, mostly children under the age of 5 years, despite the availability of a safe and effective vaccine, according to the World Health Organization. The virus is so contagious that more than 90% of the population needs to be immunized to prevent outbreaks. A van containing human remains and 1,000 litres of spring water will arrive on a train from France this week to begin a two-month tour that will bring the alleged healing power of Lourdes to Britain. The relics of St. Bernadette of Lourdes, the miller's daughter who reported seeing visions of the Virgin Mary in the 1850s, have never visited this country before. The tour is expected to be the biggest yet of Catholic relics in Britain. The bone and tissue fragments will be shown in a golden reliquary within a hermetically sealed glass case at Westminster Cathedral from this week until Monday morning. Up to 50,000 people are expected to visit on the first 2 days of the tour to venerate the relics, pray, light candles and leave petitions. The cathedral will remain open overnight on Saturday and Sunday. The relics will tour more than 50 venues around England, Scotland and Wales, including the Anglican Liverpool Cathedral. Long queues are expected. About 500,000 people went to see the relics of St. Therese of Lisieux when they toured Britain in 2009. Double that number could travel to see St. Bernadette's relics between this week and November the 1st, especially after 2 years of the pandemic when fewer pilgrims went to France. The relics will arrive in Folkestone and spend the night at St. Thomas of Canterbury, a Catholic church in Fulham, West London. Up to 1,000 people are expected to visit the relics there. They were handed to British officials in a ceremony at Lourdes before they were packed in a special travel case. They will travel with 1,000 litres of water from the springs at Lourdes in the south of France that Bernadette Soubrieux is believed to have uncovered after the Virgin Mary told her to dig at the site in 1858 when Bernadette was 14. The water will be distributed for worshippers to wash their hands or faces or even drink. Father Dennis Templemans Platt, parish priest at St. Thomas of Canterbury, said 1 million people could visit the relics. In a simple way, this is Lourdes coming to them rather than them going to Lourdes, he said. It is hugely significant and it won't happen again, certainly in my lifetime. The relics are just human bones, but they are bones that belong to an individual who is touched by the power of God. A memorial to an 18th century plantation owner that praises him for violently suppressing a slave rebellion can be removed from a church, a court has ruled. The plaque to John Gordon in St. Peter's Church in Dorchester is rare in making explicit mention of slave ownership. A proposal to relocate the memorial to a museum next door had divided heritage experts and some of the Gordon's family's descendants. Gordon was a lawyer who owned at least 400 slaves in Jamaica. In 1760, a slave from Ghana, known only as Tacky, led a revolt. The memorial on the church wall notes that Gordon was significantly instrumental in quelling a dangerous rebellion in the island in the year 1760, a large body of Negroes, whom his bravery had repulsed, finally yielding to their confidence in his humanity. Gordon is thought to have died in Dorchester en route to the Caribbean in 1774 and was buried in the church. A church's court ruling said of the plaque, it describes in words of admiration an act of violent oppression against enslaved people using racist language. The vicar and church warden sought permission from the church court to move the memorial to the Dorset Museum. They planned to install a replacement plaque to commemorate Gordon and direct visitors to the old memorial. They were praised by the church court for approaching the extremely sensitive issue with real care and openness. Historic England and the Georgian Society agreed the plaque was offensive, but felt it should stay with an explanatory note. The Ancient Monuments Society, however, said the wording was particularly challenging and backed its relocation, as did Dorset Council. A direct descendant of Gordon's sister Catherine expressed full sympathy with the Black Lives Matter movement, but said moving the memorial would be an overreaction. Another descendant said history should not be distorted, but saw relocation to the museum as the ideal answer. A church judge, Ruth Arlow, ruled the memorial in its present spot is harmful to the mission of today's church. She compared the case with the decision this year to retain a chapel memorial to Tobias Rustat, a 17th century benefactor to Jesus College, Cambridge, who invested in slaving companies. Arlow said the Gordon plaque was different in its acclamation of morally repugnant slavery. St. Peter's hailed the court decision as the most appropriate outcome. And finally, Pastor Jamie has a clever bumper sticker on his car which reads, "Tithe if you love Jesus. Any fool can honk."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.